The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Stuart Beasley, Craig Forsyth and Richie McGrath in the studio. A busy Tuesday coming up as well with three jumps meetings in the afternoon, Kelso, Ludlow and Wetherby, the three venues. We also have evening racing on the turf at Yarmouth, on the all-weather surface at Wolverhampton, and Irish jumps racing as well from Ballinrobe, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. Hi, Mick.
Yes, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. As always, on this edition of the podcast at the start of the week, we will begin with the Monday jury and look back at some of last week's racing, starting with the Bet365 Gold Cup. In fact, looking ahead to next week's racing, just to make me look like a fool. But what do you make of the Gold Cup at Sandown next weekend? Do you fancy anything?
I think it's boiling up into a nice race. I like horses who go into it in good form. As we saw, Gosme Judge ran a really good race in the Scottish National. I nearly did it with a horse who finished fourth in the Scottish National. The ground came too soft for him, but then he went on to finish a close second in the what was then the Whitbread Gold Cup, so it is doable. I think he'd have to go on the shortlist, and of course same difference is well handicapped. He ran well in the race last year and looks as though they've aimed him at it again, so there'd be a couple that I'd be interested in without having too strong of you on the race at this stage.
Okay, so Gosme Judge and same difference, a couple to keep an eye on there. Switching codes, Mick, what did you make of Tormore's Craven success? It was pretty workmanlike, wasn't it?
I just thought it took him an awful long time to get rid of the Grey Gatsby. And nobody ever talks about him as a Guineas winner in the same sentence, do they? So,
no.
Not impressive enough for me.
No. I find Tormore quite hard to work out because he was obviously top two-year-old last year, and he just only ever seems to do enough to win the race. He's not flashy, he doesn't go clear, he just only ever does enough.
Yeah, and Ryan did sort of give him a good workout, didn't he, doing it the hard way. Could have sat in, but he didn't. Yeah. He let him bowl, but it just looked a bit of a laboured effort to me.
Yeah. And then immediately after the race last week, I think it was last week, they were talking about the fact that they needed to get a prep into him or else they'd have no chance against Kingman. So do you think Ryan Moore rode him that way on purpose just to get the competitive juices going?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Any classic hopes for other new market winners, Barsam, True Story and Sandiva?
Well, after True Story had won, I think we said on the programme that it'd be great to see him. He has gone entry in the Dante. It'd be great to see him come up to York, and we know a lot more about him then.
Yeah.
I think he'd be probably the one who could go on from there.
Yeah, he looked quite impressive, didn't he?
He did.
Could be a good Derby horse.
Visually very impressive.
Yeah. Okay, then, what about the other two, Mick? Anything out of those two?
I didn't think so. I think Bassem would have to improve markedly in a very short time.
Yeah.
Maybe if somewhere like Royal Ascot, given a bit more time to aim at. And the filly Sandiva was very... game, shall we say, to get the job done there. So that augurs well for her, but as far as classics go, I think True Story would be the only one that could win a classic.
Okay, let's look at the betting for the first two classics then. How do you see the Guineas, now the trials have been run, Mick? We'll start with the 1,000 Guineas, because that's probably the more open of the two Guineas. Rizina is 7-2 at the moment. Itimal, Lucky Crystal, Miss France, My Titania and Tapestry are all 8-1. It's 12 for Bracelet, 14s for Amazing Maria, 16-1 for Alpha Kira, J Wonder and Kyoshi and Sandiva, and then 20-1 on bigger prices the rest. You could give a case to state a case for a lot of these, couldn't you, Mick?
Yes. I just worry about Rizina. She had a toughish two-year-old campaign, didn't she? And I wouldn't be surprised if one or two of the fillies improved past her. Amazing Maria was very impressive that day at Goodwood, wasn't she? And she looked every inch as though she was going to make up into a smart three-year-old. I think if there's any confidence behind her, I'd want to be on side with her.
Okay. Amazing Maria then there. Let's move on to the 2,000 guineas, because Kingman remains the even money favourite. Australia has been shortened a little bit in the last day or so. Australia now 7-2 second favourite. Tormore 5-1, was as short as 9-2 yesterday, was about sixes before the Craven as well, so he's just edged out a little bit. Kingston Hill 10-1, 12s for Walker Man, 16s for Knight of Thunder and Nuzo Canarius, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest.
Yeah, I just don't know whether there's anything there going to have the pace of Kingman. I mean, Australia's bred to get further, isn't he? Tormore, as we saw, he's a galloper. He'd be vulnerable to a horse of Kingman's brilliance. If he gets the ground that he wants, which I think it'll be do their best to produce good racing ground at Newmarket, won't they, for Guinea's Day. I think it's the race has got Kingman written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah. With him being even money, Mick, that might put a few people off.
It would certainly put me off. I wouldn't back him in even money. Mm.
And then we'll probably have betting on the pro race card on the day as well. Absolutely. So what would you go with if you take Kingman out of the equation?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's we'd have to see really what War Command and things like that do, wouldn't we? You know, I mean, he could well be interesting if he turns up, and it's not unlike them to run more than one in the guineas, is it?
No.
So, I think at this moment, I think I'd sit on the fence and wait and see what turns up.
Okay then, but Kingman's still the one to beat then if he gets the ground that he wants in the guineas, in the 2,000 guineas. The final question of this week's Monday, Jory Mick, which horses who ran on all weather finals day will you be following on the turf?
I think a standout horse was Ertigal, who looks as though he's got a good future, doesn't he? And he could go on to win something at Royal Ascot, I would think. I mean, the others we pretty much know all we need to know about them. I think Ertigal could be the standout horse that ran on Good Friday.
Okay, Ertigal and the standout. What do you make of Litigant, Mick? Because he's an improving stayer, isn't he? And I think he might be better on the grass.
He could well be, yeah. I mean, the we'll see more when we do get him on the turf on a proper, you know, at a proper good gallop, won't we? But yeah, interesting to see how far he can go. But I do think that Ertigal does look to have a bit of class about him.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Okay, that's the Monday jury then for another week. We will now move on to Tuesday's racing, and we'll find out the thoughts of Mick at Wetherby next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's racing. Wetherby is the meeting we're going to focus on, and Mick's picked out three races there. The first of them is the 2:35, and this is a novice's handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and a big field here, Mick, 18 of them in the lineup. So which ones make the shortlist?
Absolutely. Well, I think the starting point's got to be Rayador from the Mickey Hammond Yard. He's on a hat-trick, the son of Azamore. Wilson Rennick's in good form at the moment. He's on a roll. He's got the £7 penalty, but he's still below the mark that he started handicapping life off. Even though his mark crept back up to 88, he started handicapping life off marks in the 90s. And the form he's in at the moment, he's only 5 years old. I think he's very, very hard to oppose. But I think the market's going to reflect that as well, even with the big field. Because I think we're going to be a little bit guided by the market, because there's one or two potential lurkers here creeping in off low marks and not many runs. It's got a bit of a nightmare look about it. A couple that are worth mentioning. Double Whammy in particular. Now, he's rated much higher over fences than he is over hurdles, and he was back to form over the bigger obstacles last time when second to Bailey's Concerto off a mark of 95. Now, he's got in here off 87. And he has got a hurdle race form in the book. He'd have a big chance on that. Dominic Ellsworth being booked to ride by Ian Jardine. I think he's going to be hard to keep out of the four. And the other interesting runner, if you like, I can't make a phone case out for him, but I'm sure he's better than we've seen. He started handicapping three starts ago off 103. That's downtown Manhattan. And he's quickly dropped to 87. Now, AP's riding for John Joe. He's best and only real sign of ability came in a Kempton Park bumper, which might suggest that this good ground he's going to encounter at Wetherby on Tuesday might bring about improvement. Watch the market for him. There's nothing in the book to recommend him apart from that Kempton bumper, but they've persevered with him, which is significant. And he's quickly dropped down to a Plater's mark of 87. So although a Rare Door is going to be hard to beat, I think the market might reflect the price there. I think I'd go each way with Double Whammy.
Okay, Double Whammy each way then in that. Just keep an eye out on the betting though, because there might be a few interesting moves in there. The next race we're going to look at is the 3:45, and this is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles. 11 of them in the lineup for this one, Mick, and not too much winning form coming into the race. What's made the short?
Yeah, well, it's against the joint top weight with 11 stone 12. Trey Bailey Brewer, Adam Wedge taking the ride. I was having a look back through his form. I mean, he's now got down to £10 lower than his last win. And he takes that hike back in grade here. He's gone down 3 grades from Class 1 to Class 4. And he didn't run that badly in that Sandown race. He wasn't beaten all that far. He was still there with a chance going to last. And I think that makes him interesting here. And it could be significant as well as that run before he went to Sandown. He was third here, a close third in a decent race. That was his only previous visit to Wetherby. So it suggests to me that the track will be to his liking. And as you say, without too much convincing form and offer, with that big drop in grade, I think Skint's going to be hard to beat despite the big weight. A couple of interest further down. Weybridge Light, turned by David Thompson. Dean Pratt taking off £7. He's been given a break since he disappointed on his final run last November, but he had been in good form before that, and he's actually got back to within a pound of his last winning mark, and he has won after a long absence before, so the 166th day since we last saw him shouldn't be a problem. And the other one who could bounce back to form is Blake Dean, normally very consistent. Has to bounce back from a very modest display when last of five at Carlisle last time. Maybe good ground can help him get back on track. It could be that maybe the handicap has got hold of him now, because he did his winning in the 80s and low 90s. Mm. He's now rated 100. That could be the reason why his form dipped last time. I still think there might be a bit more to come from him. He's only sixth. I wouldn't write him off just yet. If he disappoints again on Tuesday, it could be that he's ready for a summer break, because he did have a busy spell midwinter, but it's too early to write off yet. So he makes the shortlist, but I'm going to stay with Skint.
Okay. Skint in the 3:45 then, and the final race we're going to look at is the 4:45, and this is a novices handicap chase over the extended 2¾ miles. And River Purple arrives here with a penalty to defy after winning at Wetherby over 2.5 miles last time. So Sean, I like him for the course. Mick arrives here in winning form. Do you think he can defy the penalty?
I don't, Mark. I know he's in good nick. He's won two of his last four, but he has struggled off this mark previously. Yeah. It's been beyond him in the past, and there's a horse lower down called Hero's Call, who was second to River Purple when he was last seen. Admittedly, it was 133 days ago and it was at Uttoxeter, but he's effectively £12 better off for 7 lengths with River Purple on their Uttoxeter running. He was only getting £7 that day. He's getting 19, and it's a big turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah,
for 7 lengths. If you know, if they can get her back to that sort of form. But there is a big but as well. Her good runs are few and far between. But she's got a mathematical chance if they've got her right.
Yeah.
But the one I'm going to take a chance on is Minogue Supreme, trained by Neil Mulholland. Noel Feely's been booked to ride. Very likely race this mare. This is only her second start since leaving Ireland. And she did run well on her first start for Niall at Fakenham. And she's a due a point-to-point winner, this mare. And the jockey booking catches the eye in a race that will take no winning. I'll go with Minogue Supreme.
Okay, Minogue Supreme then in the 4:45. Let's just have a quick summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yes, in the 2:35, the well-handicapped, certainly on his chase form, Double Whammy, back to form last time with a good run over fences, back over hurdles here off his much lower mark. He catches the eye in that 2:35, and with four places to aim at, hopefully he'll be a decent each-way price. Unfortunate name for a racehorse, but I'm going to go with Skint in the 3:45. Let's hope he doesn't live up to his name and Skins at all, but £10 lower than his last win, and I thought ran well in that Grade 1 at Sandown last time and did run well here on his penultimate outing, his only previous visit to the track. And in the 4:45, I definitely think there are races to be won with Minogue Supreme, only having a second start for Neil Mulholland since leaving Ireland.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Tuesday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Stuart Beasley, Craig Forsyth and Richie McGrath in the studio. Three jumpers in the afternoon, Kelso, Ludlow and Weatherby. Three meetings in the evening as well. We have turf racing from Yarmouth, we have all-weather racing at Wolverhampton and jumps racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe. So plenty of racing to look forward to on Tuesday. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.